Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to New Land Alive. Bless God. To You Land Alive. I'm so glad you guys took the time of day to spend with me today in the Word. It's a wonderful Sunday afternoon, right? I know we're airing a little bit later than we normally do, but, you know, late is better than never, right? Amen? Well, I'm thanking God that we had this time together. As you already know, today's show is going to be about condemnation. The title of our show today was When Condemnation Binds Me Still. How many know that there are times in our lives when, although we're believers, we still struggle with condemnation? Sometimes warranted, you know, it might be something going on in our lives, and other times it feels like it's just out of the blue and we're just struggling with feeling worthy. Well, today I want to deal with a little bit of that. Obviously, because of the constraints on time that we have in the radio program, we won't be able to get into a deeper study about it. But I want to give you some food for thought and a bit of scriptural tidbits just to kind of help you along the way. Amen? Well, that's what we're going to be doing today here on New Land Alive, dealing with condemnation. And if you don't mind, I would love to pray. Father, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Thank you that it's your desire that your children, the ones you have called well before the foundation of the world, Lord God, whom you foreknew and predestined, Lord, get to hear your word and to not only hear your word, but be liberated by it and to experience, Lord, your heart just the way you desire from the foundation of the world. And so, Father, by your Spirit, I ask that whomever should hear the sound of my voice today will begin to experience just what it is that you desire for your people, that freedom, that liberty, Lord God, and that justification that comes as a result of the work of the cross through Christ Jesus. We thank you for this, and we give you all honor and glory for it in advance, Lord, in Jesus' perfect name. Amen. So as we're discussing today about condemnation, let's look at some pieces, some of the questions that I presented in the opening of the show and in the excerpt that goes into the show today was, why is it that we find ourselves condemned? What's going on? And how do we handle those times of darkness that grip us and act as if they will never let us go? What do I do when I find that condemnation binds me still? Primary understanding that we have to gain is exactly what is condemnation. You know, it's a word that we kick around in Christian circles quite often, but exactly what is it? Okay? Romans 8:1, the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Condemnation in this word, in this particular verse, means katakrino, which means to give judgment against, to judge worthy of punishment by one's good example, or to render another's wickedness the more evident and censurable. So according to Scripture, this judgment against another is based on their lack of being a good example or based on their practiced wickedness. So whenever you hear about condemnation, there's always the connotation of poor performance or not having measured up. When we talk about the word censurable, not having overcome wickedness, okay, or your particular acts or behaviors are wicked. So this is what we're thinking when we think along the terms of condemnation. And how many times have we found ourselves not measuring up as believers and then immediately begin to judge ourselves and say that, you know, we are just not acceptable in the eyes of God, or we're just not acceptable in the church circles, or people won't like me because of what I'm doing, or I don't even like myself because of the things that I've done in the past. This is where condemnation kicks in. Now, according to this verse here in Romans chapter 8, we see that condemnation is the result of the individual who is not walking according to the Spirit of God. Obviously, this is the Word of God. When we find ourselves struggling with this self-judgment or judgment placed on us by others, we need to examine ourselves and see if there's any validity to this accusation. This is the first step we need to take. Because why would condemnation show up in my life? Why am I still struggling and finding that it's binding me? This is what we need to do. Scripture goes on to say, not in this particular verse, but it also says in another place, examine thyself to see if you be in the faith. So the first standing order, whenever I'm feeling condemned or I'm feeling as if I don't measure up, I need to go and examine myself. Is this feeling valid? Is this particular judgment that I have placed or someone else has placed valid? That's a question we need to ask. And as we ask ourselves that question, we then need to research it and find out for ourselves if this thing is true. Amen? 1 John 21. I should have found those scriptures, guys, so we can look at them. Let me see if I can find them really quickly. In the book of 1 John, if you have your Bibles and you come along with me on this journey, we're flipping to the back of the Bible. Amen? 1 John is towards the back. I know you see St. John in the front, but we're going towards the back. And unfortunately for me, guys, my Bible's in pieces because I have studied this particular Bible for many, many years. And so I'm having to look for whether or not I still have 1 John in this particular Bible. So bear with me. You probably hear the rustling of my pages. Aha, I do have John. Yay. I have 1 and 2. Okay, I'm getting there. I apologize for the delay, but I'm getting there. I hope you're following along with me because this is a rich word that could set us free, amen? All right, so here we go. 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 say, "For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things." And then he says in verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." Now, why do we pull out those scriptures? Because we need to be able to judge righteously even when it comes to our feelings of condemnation and feelings of not having measured up. And the author here says to us, look, if your heart's condemning you, God is greater than your heart. So it seems to me that there are times when there's an illegitimate condemnation that comes up in our lives where we're experiencing feeling like we're not measuring up, and we need to put that feeling in check. Because the author here tells us, look, God is greater than your heart, okay? And he knows all things. So since God knows all things and he's greater than your heart, those feelings have to be subjected to God's word. I mean, that's something we don't really think about often, right? A lot of times we struggle with the wrong thoughts, and we're like, gosh, I just can't get them out of my head. I don't know how to really overcome this situation. Yeah, I have some general ideas that I have head knowledge over, but when it comes down to defeating this thing, I just feel powerless. Well, the author here is telling us that God is greater than your heart. So my next question to myself is, how do I get God to be greater than this feeling that's trapping me in my heart here? Amen? So what we're doing here actually is we're drilling down. I use this language quite often. We're drilling down. We're trying to figure out what caused this behavior, this feeling, this condemnation in my life. And so we need to find out if the feeling is valid or if it's not. Now, what we mentioned earlier is if we find that the particular feeling is rooted in something that we have done wrong, then obviously the next step is to ask for forgiveness, right? Go before God and get that thing right. That's what we want to do. We want to see if we are actually in the faith. I'm examining myself now. That's what's happening. All right? So whenever we find ourselves struggling with this self-judgment or judgment placed on us by others, we need to examine ourselves and see if there's any validity to this accusation. All right? And so we look at 1 John 3:20. He's explained to us once again that if our hearts condemn us because of sin, we need to obviously repent and ask sincerely for forgiveness. Then this condemnation that we're experiencing should begin to lift. Now, in the uneventful case, because it can happen, that this condemnation tries to stick around, we need to figure out what's happening there. We recognize that if I've already done by faith, according to Scripture, the repenting and asking God for forgiveness and begun the practice of walking and trusting Him and walking in His Word, then this condemnation we're feeling, or this guilt that we feel, becomes a tool of the enemy to cause us not to move. So that would be the next set of stages that he's trying to drag us into. He couldn't keep you in condemnation because you've gone and you repented and if there was an evil act there or some act of wickedness or sin committed. So he figures he'll take the emotion and put you in bondage. Amen? This is what the enemy's trying to do. So this is where we have to then say, you know what, I'm not going to stay in condemnation, because the verse that we have already examined says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the condemnation can't be for the person who walks in the Word of God, who walks by the Spirit of God. If you find yourself experiencing that condemnation, then we need to actively fight it, because it is unjustified and it does not belong. Amen? So this is the war that you'll have to work out. The Scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that you'll have to actually work it out. And this will have to be done by the process of renewing the mind. Amen. Bless the Lord Almighty. I know this is good. You know, this is good stuff, because, you know, we do find times in our lives when we're just feeling down, because we just feel like I'm not enough. You know, I shouldn't, you know, be feeling this way. I shouldn't be in this place that I am in my life now. I should be so much farther ahead. I should be experiencing so many more things. And then we find ourselves, after that thought process, being condemned. We feel condemned. We feel depressed. We feel stressed. We begin to experience in our bodies the thought process that we've held for so much time, for so long. I'm not sure if you're hearing the process here, but hear it. We begin to think these thoughts. They trickle down into our heart, and they become our belief system, and then we begin to walk them out. Proverbs 23:7 breaks that down for you. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, whatever I'm thinking about all day long trickles down into my heart. It becomes what I believe. It gets into my belief system. And then I walk it out. This is what's happening. So this is why we have to drill down and figure out what in the world is going on with me. What's happening? Yeah, this can be a tool of the enemy. He will use condemnation to keep us from walking in harmony with God. And if we find that once we've done that self-examination, that there was a sin, we, Scripture says, have an advocate with the Father. We can always go, and we can ask the Lord to forgive us. We can ask Him to change our hearts and minds. We can get into the Word of God and study and replace these faulty thinking systems with the Word of God, so that we can begin to experience the joy and the peace that comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? This is what the Lord wants for every single believer. This is not isolated for pastors or preachers or ministers. This is for every believer under the sound of my voice and even around the world. This is God's plan for us. And so it would be a blessing to us to begin to take the tools that God has given us and use them in every circumstance we find ourselves. Amen? Bless the Lord Almighty. So if we begin to repent, like we said earlier, and ask sincerely for forgiveness, then this condemnation or guilt that we feel becomes a tool of the enemy to cause us not to move forward in the things of God. We would call this false guilt at this point. When we experience false guilt or prolonged guilt, we need to learn to reject it. That's what we've got to do. Now, this is a very, I don't know if you've noticed, but this is a very active thinking process, an active process where we are involved in our own deliverance. We get involved. God has given us the tools, and so we need to use the Word of God to get free and stay free. That's what He wants from us and for us. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 17, one of my favorite verses that I quote quite often, especially in prayer. I love this verse. I want to read it to you. Let me just grab my spectacles. It says here, and I'm reading from the New King James Version today, guys, in case you're interested. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the right and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So what the author here is letting us know that, for one, no weapon, according to God's promise to us and the contract that he's given us, which is the word of God, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Now, obviously, we have gone through troubles, right? We have seen issues in our lives. So it doesn't mean that we can't experience troubles. As a matter of fact, the fact that he says no weapon formed, that tells us that weapons can be formed. Amen? People will come against you. Things will happen. There will be attacks on your life. There's no such thing as a trouble-free walk in Christ Jesus. It's just not. So I'm loving that the author here is telling us that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Okay? He's letting us know that it doesn't have to prosper. Why? Because we have the promises of God. And as we exact these promises of God in our life, guess what? These tools won't work. That's the way this works. This is how the scripture gets played out in our lives, okay? And it goes on to say, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment. Now remember, condemnation here in these verses is talking about judgment, to give judgment against, to judge worthy of punishment by one's good example, to render another's wickedness the more evident and censurable. Remember, we talked about that condemnation word. So here we see that we have the ability to reject condemnation, judgment. Let me read this piece again. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, here's the part I love, you shall condemn. So here God's making it pretty clear. I've already given you the tool. Now use it. You condemn it. You kick it out of your life. You tell it it can't stay. You declare that. You believe that. You walk in that. And condemnation and false guilt and judgment, they all have to go. You know, I dare say most of us, because I was in a place where I was living like this too, most of us at some part of our walk, some juncture in our walk, have allowed these negative feelings and emotions and false beliefs to just wash over us without ever being checked. We just say, you know what, I feel this way and I can't shake it. I'm just stuck here. Well, we're stuck here because we have not applied the word of God onto these situations. We have not superseded or superimposed the word of God over these negative thoughts and issues that have risen in our lives, and so they have remained as the bedrock or the stronghold in our lives instead of the word of God. And it was not until I began myself to practice this particular tool for freedom that I began to come out of that same negative process and pattern in my own life. Remember, at the root of all of this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, yes, these are varied different situations in our lives. There's the varying situations, whether that be through our marriage, through our finances, in our schools, in our churches, wherever we find ourselves, yes, the situations will vary. But the process to overcome still remains the same. What in the world am I thinking? What predominant thought am I allowing to be my belief system? Now, mind you, a lot of these situations that we will face will be projected onto us or happening to us. It will come at us, right? You know, spouse doing something ridiculous, you know, kids acting up, you know, something happens, car accident, whatever. And as a result of that, we're impacted by the situation and whatever predominant thought comes with it. Depending on how we handle that predominant thought, that accusation, that judgment that we've made, we will have a particular set of outcomes. Are you hearing that? So God is making it clear, even here in Isaiah 54:17, that there is a peace where we have authority. There is a peace where we have some kind of say as to which direction we will go. And I know we don't tend to really think along those lines when it comes to situations like this, like condemnation and overcoming in any particular situation. But the truth of the matter is that this is the case. All right? So he's telling us, getting back to what we're talking about here, is that we have the authority and the ability here in this verse to condemn whatever judgment comes our way. In other words, we can fully reject it. We do not have to receive it. All right? And then we wonder, well, how do we come to this? How is it that I can tell this particular condemnation or this guilt or whatever is coming in my life, that it has no place there. Let's look at the rest of the verse. I'm going to start from the beginning and read down so we can just kind of track here, all right? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Hear this now. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Okay, all right. So what is he saying to me? He's saying that, look, this belongs to you, this right. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, Yeshua, our Messiah, Yahweh, then guess what? This belongs to you by right. This is your inheritance. This is what you inherited in Christ Jesus when you said, I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross and rose from the dead. When you believe that in your heart, this became your inheritance. And all the promises of God that exist within this book became yours. Bless God. How powerful. And so now we're seeing this author here in the book of Isaiah tell us how to exact them. Specifically, what am I doing to make these promises come to pass? And he's saying, this is what you have to do. You condemn it. Because this is your inheritance. This is your heritage. Because you're a servant of the Lord. And then finally he says, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now, why does that matter at this point, right? Why is he finishing off this particular verse with, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord? He had to make it clear to us that we're not making this declaration on our own laurels, that it's not based on our faulty thinking, on our wishy-washy ideas integrity. Because, body of Christ, you guys know our integrity fails us sometimes, right? He's saying here to make it clear that this righteousness is not your own righteousness. This is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the standard. And God's righteousness is the standard bearer for all of his declarations. So we understand that we have the backing of God when we walk in this particular procedure, when we walk in this particular truth. The backing is from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords himself. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So you don't have to worry about whether or not you declaring this is out of bounds, if this is order, or if you're worthy enough. Because remember, condemnation will tell you that you're not worthy, right? But he's already addressed the condemnation and said this is not even an issue, especially since you're repentant, especially since you're walking in the Word. Now you have declared, you know, to agree with the kingdom of God and its principles and directions. You don't have to worry about that. Your righteousness is from me. Because yours will never be enough anyway. It'll never measure up. So you need to be in Christ's righteousness so that you can walk in these declarations going forward for the rest of your life. Bless God Almighty. That is enriching. I pray you're getting this. Holy Ghost, help us to really receive this truth. Because as we receive these truths, body of Christ, we will find ourselves free and able not only to reject condemnation, but to begin to receive the promises of God in every facet of our lives and all of our relationships and our fellowship with the body of Christ, on our jobs, in our finances. We will be open to receive the will and the word of God for every aspect of our lives. This is the God that we serve. This is the freedom that he affords us. Amen. Bless the Lord Almighty. I want to get some more and a couple more scriptures. I know our time is getting close to ending, guys, but I want to get into this word because I think we need it. In the book of John, chapter 3, and I'm flipping over to verse 19. I'm going old school today, guys. I'm flipping through this beat-up Bible. I tell you what, I'm seeing pages that are taped together. Wow. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 19. Let me just read that. Okay. Bless you, Jesus. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Okay? So now we're talking about condemnation again. And if you read the rest of the verses before that and even after, you'll hear more of a context about condemnation. All right? So that's something for you to get into when some more time has passed. But we're finding here that this condemnation, this guilt, was always tied to the fact that the light or the word of God came into the world, and men who were practicing, men mean people, practicing sin or darkness, didn't want it. They didn't want the light. They repelled the light because, in many cases, we like darkness. We like doing what we do, right? And so once that light was shed on their sin, they became exposed, and obviously they wanted to reject the light. But there are cases where the light exposes our darkness and we become remorseful. We become sorrowful, and this sorrow in many cases can lead to repentance. And so this is the hope that we would have. So looking down at let me just read the other two verses. In verse 20 it says, "For everyone practicing evil hates light and does not come into the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." I was just saying it, right? And then verse 21, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." So once again, we see condemnation tied to walking in sin or not walking in sin. When we're walking in sin, we end up feeling that guilt. So we have to once again begin to drill down and ask ourselves, why am I feeling condemnation? If you are a believer today, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you know in your knower that you believe in Jesus Christ, you need to challenge that condemnation. Why does it bind me still? Why does this thing hold on to me when I know that I'm in Christ Jesus? If you know that you know that you know that you're in Christ Jesus today and that condemnation is still showing up, you're going to have to challenge it because it's trying to stay and claim ground that it does not own. And so we have to evict it. Amen? And we evict it by appropriating the word of God, appropriating the promises of God, believing God's report over the report of the evil. Amen? This is what we have to do. God, Proverbs 12:12 also educates us on the same thing. When you get a minute, read that verse. Amen? We're understanding what this condemnation thing is even about. Okay? But the wonderful thing about our God is that he promises us that we won't come into condemnation when we hear the word of God and believe on Christ Jesus. We then have everlasting life and can experience God's love. Romans 5:18 goes on to explain to us, and I want you to read that when you get a minute, that condemnation comes because of Adam. Adam is the one who introduces condemnation to us because of his fallenness, right? And when he fell, all of us fell with him. Everyone born after him fell with him. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Romans 5:18. Yeah, got it. "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." So through Christ Jesus, we were justified just as if we had never sinned to the point of life, everlasting life, the everlasting life that comes through Christ Jesus alone. No one else can offer what Christ offers us, body of Christ. This is what sets us apart from the rest of the world. We have justification just as if we had never sinned through Jesus Christ. I don't know if you hear it, but I'm getting a little excited because I thank God every day that I have that, that my heart doesn't have to condemn me. And I bet you do the same because we know that we have a place in heaven. We have a place with Jesus Christ, and we don't have to walk in condemnation anymore. Amen? Today I'm asking you to be sincere with yourself. Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. If you find that you've been trapped by something or someone, take it to the Lord in prayer. Be sincere, and that's the key with God. Be sincere. Come with your whole heart. Scripture says, him that comes to him with his whole heart, he said, "I will in no way, no wise," in old English, "cast him out." He will not reject you. He will not condemn you when you come. And ask him to forgive you and to cleanse you and to set you on the right path so that you can begin to experience the wholeness of God. I want to pray with you today. You don't have to say a specific set of words. Just ask Jesus Christ into your heart and ask him to cleanse you in those places that have been condemned for you. Maybe today you're still fighting with yourself over decisions you've made toward abortion in the past or even recently. Or you're fighting with yourself over an adulterous affair or some decision you have made financially or otherwise that causes you to just kind of replay that thing in your head, making you feel that you are not enough or you're not worthy of God. There's no sin especially that we've repented of, that Christ cannot handle, no heart that he cannot hold, no pain that he cannot feel or relate to. The God that we serve is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask, think, or imagine. Whatever it is that you are facing today that is really gripping you, telling you it will not let go, let's take that to God. So as I pray, I ask that you would pray along with me in your own words from your heart, whether you'd be praying out loud, I don't know if you're in a car or near people, but pray in your heart with me today. Be sincere and ask Christ to come in and to help you there. Amen? Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you that you love them so dearly that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I thank you that your word provides a way of escape. Lord, you said there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Thank you for that, Father. And today, I just agree with the kingdom of God. I agree, Lord God, with your plans for your people, the humankind who will believe on Jesus Christ. And I say, Father God, that you would move by your Spirit upon them, that they might be set free from condemnation and set free from self-rejection, set free, Father God, to the point where they can stop the cutting and the self-harm. Set them free, Lord, from every bondage, Lord God, again to fear. Do a work, Lord God, that cannot be undone by the hand of man. And, Lord, minister to their hearts so that they will know that not only they are accepted, but, Lord, that you rejoice over them. You said in your word that you rejoice over us with singing. Let them experience that elation in your love today, God. They might know that the King of the universe loves them and wants to cradle them in his love. Thank you for that, Father. I come against every tactic, strategy, and scheme of the devil that comes to kill, steal, and destroy in my brothers and sisters' lives. I pray, Father God, that you would give them the tenacity to dig their heels in and believe you above the report of their hearts or the works of the enemy. Help them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are there and you will never leave them nor forsake them. Let them know, Father God, that your love, Lord God, supersedes all of the lies of the enemy and that you, Lord God, are coming back one day to redeem your own. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for what you're doing and how you're going to do it. We give you all glory and honor in the perfect and precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Bless God. Well, I'm glad you spent this time with me. I feel like we were a bit rushed today. I do apologize. And believe it or not, we're actually having technical difficulties with our dashboard here today. So I'm hoping that we didn't have any dropouts in reference to our sound and all. I'm going to have to talk to somebody about that at the headquarters. But I'll tell you this. I'm glad for God's word, and I'm glad he cares for us so deeply that he's given it to us. Amen? So today, you know, if you want to just pray a little bit more after the show, feel free to give our office a call. We're in the office today, 4-626-5024. Again, 484-626-5024. If you miss us, we might be on the phone with somebody else, but leave us a message, and I tell you, we'll give you a call back and pray with you, or if need be, or if you just leave a prayer request, we'll be praying over it for you. If you like good Christian counseling and biblical counseling, feel free to give us a call. We do our counseling by Skype, email, where necessary. Texting is usually for short stuff, but we will do phone sessions as well. We'll be there for you. The whole idea is for us to get what we need from Christ so that we can be who he desires for us to be, even when we're in controversy or in crisis. Amen? There's also more materials at YolandaDavis.com. We have Life-Changing Prevailing Prayer, which is one of my recent books. And we also have it on audio for you guys who are out there driving constantly, amen? They are available on the website. Feel free to go over to the website and pick those things up or call the office. We'll be glad to place the order for you here as well. Well, guys, we're going to be headed out, but we're not going to be gone forever, amen? The Lord tarries. Feel free to reach out to us if you need to. We love you, and we just thank God for you every day. You're being prayed for. Another reason why I'd like for you to call in, if you just leave your name, we'll be praying for you. Bless God. We want to come alongside you in that way. You know, my heart's desire is that we get to the kingdom together and one day rejoice forward to that big dinner that God's thrown for us, that banquet. Amen. I want to see your face. I want us to fellowship together one day. You know, I'm looking forward to that. Are you looking forward to that? That day that Christ returns? Well, let's be able to fellowship now on this side so we can share these beautiful stories together when we're on the other side of eternity. Well, guys, on that note, I'm going to sign out. but I'm not signing out forever. Bless God, as the Lord has. Be blessed. Amen.